Okay, and we are live. Welcome to the 34th episode of our series, How to Become Fluent in English. So today we're joined with a very special guest, and we're going to be simulating an English lesson on how you can improve your English speaking skills, okay? This is something that's really commonly asked amongst you guys. You all want to improve your English speaking skills. You can all understand English. You're all at the B1, B2, C1 level, but you can't quite articulate yourself well, okay? So for the people who are listening to this on Spotify, Apple Music, or any podcasting platform, welcome back. Nice to have you back. And for the people on Facebook and YouTube and Twitch as well, why don't you introduce yourself, tell us where you're from, what your native language is, and we will address any of the questions you have throughout the stream in the chat. Now, without further ado, Gunita, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, thank you. I am Gunita Lanka, also known as Mrs. Gunita from the language teacher family. And I will start my story from when I was 18. So graduated high school, met my boyfriend, now my husband, Andres. We met at the age of 17, started dating at the age of 18, started working together at the age of 19, got married at 20. So that was when we actually started working as English teachers. Up to this day, yes, I still teach English. And long story short, we started a language school. Now, that was not the beginning. When I was 19, I started with teaching and helping with English. My friends, my closest friends, just a few people. But because we were this couple that loved working together, and especially my husband, who had the entrepreneurial side in him more, then we turned it into a business. And now it is still one of the oldest and largest language schools in the Baltics. Now, a little geography lesson. I come from Latvia. That's a beautiful, small country opposite Sweden. That's in Europe. And next to Russia, Belarus, in between Estonia and Lithuania, that's where we are based, but we work globally. And now 27, 28 years later, we still have the language school and we teach globally. I believe we have taught more than 15,000 students around the globe. So that's a lot of experience. And so we've been in the language industry, but only 2 years ago, we decided that, you know what, we share the tips and tactics to our staff, to our teachers. And how about if we just share that a little bit further? So that was the reason why we actually decided to go on social media, known as Language Teacher Family. We have accounts on all social media platforms. And now 2 years into doing this, and that's still fun to do, we have 1.6 million followers on TikTok and 600,000 on Instagram. So that's a lot of exposure. And now the language school has grown even more internationally.
Okay, wow. Quite the resume. And how many languages do you know fluently other than
myself
English and your native language? Yeah. How many languages do you know fluently yourself?
So my native language is Latvian. My second language happened to be Russian. And then English actually is my third language. I know a little bit of Norwegian because I lived there for a while. Mm-hmm. And so basically if I travel, I'm okay. I can travel, I can do business, I can
get by.
Yes.
Got you. Okay, and I see some of you guys are popping in here. We got a bunch from YouTube, a bunch from Facebook. So let's take a look here. Anna Shigal, hi from Israel. Okay, shout out to you, Anna. La Domnis, what is ambatuka? I have no idea what you're referring to there. Do you know what that is, Gunita?
No.
Neither do I.
I wish I knew, but that's actually a good word. We can come up with a meaning. Sure. Yes, does anyone know?
There you go. Yeah. If you know, put it in the chat. Go ahead. Nashad. Hi. Yep. Shout out to you. NIMC. Hi, guys. Hello. Abdu. Greetings from Eritrea. Welcome back, Abdu. nice to see you again. Shad, not sure what you're saying there is okay. Abba Chan, good morning, teachers. Good morning, Abba, and welcome back to the stream. Nice to see you again. Leg, hi, I'm from Poland. Okay, cool, 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 cool. And you guys are communicating in another language, it seems, clearly. Okay. Do you know this language, Anita? Or I have no idea what language they're communicating in. But anyway, shout out to you guys. Okay, so throughout the stream, guys, if you have any questions at all, this is going to be about improving your speaking skills in English, okay? So if you have any questions at all regarding how you can improve your speaking skills, something that you're having difficulties with right now, just put it in the chat. We'll address it and we'll give you the best answer. So to start this off, Gunita, so the most common question that we always get in the English learning space is, I can understand English, but I cannot speak it, or I cannot speak it confidently. I'm always reaching for words. I can't articulate myself well. So at least psychologically, how can an English learner get over that common challenge?
That's such a good question. We get that question a lot. And that's, okay, I will give you two things today. One actually is a challenging thought. If you are a non-native speaker, meaning English is not your native language, it's not your first language, you are learning English and you still feel like you're stuck, you can't express yourself. In the meetings, you understand everything they say, but when it comes like your turn, you're like, you're still using your elementary vocabulary and you hate that about yourself. And probably you think there's something wrong with you. So let me tell you, maybe if you are learning the language, it's not your fault. Maybe your teacher is stealing from you. And let me explain. Because when you learn a language, there has to be someone who guides you. English, and especially speaking, is just a skill. It's not magic. It's not something unique that only certain people or only native speakers possess. It's a skill. Just like, what else is a skill? Well, my friend, driving is a skill. Cooking is a skill.
Right? Absolutely.
Dancing is a skill. Those are all skills, which means you start one day with baby steps. And now look at you. The more you do it, the more you practice, the better you become. That's a skill. And if you look at the native speaker, well, he was privileged to be born in that environment. But the only difference is that he happened to start earlier. You will get there. So look at that as not your weakness, but as a skill. And every skill on the planet needs to be practiced. That's the only way. How do you practice if you continuously repeat the same thing all over again until you master it to, let's say, fluency? Now, there is this trend out there, speak like a native speaker.
Yep.
And I want to address that today as we speak as well, because sometimes it might be like an idol, like an image that you want to chase, but you don't have to. Like, I'm not a native speaker. Many of my friends and even teachers are not native speakers. And we don't have to be, because that is not the only reason how we can be great communicators, how we can have great people skills, right? So with that said, look at that as a skill that it is in your hands to master. The more you do it, the better. Now back to the teachers, because I did say, maybe your teacher, your tutor is stealing from you. And let me explain. So if there's someone who guides you in that skill, just like a driving instructor, right? So he's telling you what to do, how to do. Now, my friend, if you are in that car and your instructor tells you all that you need to know about the car, about driving, about traffic, and you hear it and you agree and you nod, but you never start the car and you never start driving, even slowly, but you never actually get to the process.
Yeah.
Guess what? You will not be good. You will be dangerous in traffic, but basically you will not drive. So as teachers, we are responsible for how well we guide and introduce and let our students practice speaking. Very often, that's exactly what we kind of miss out. We love to explain. Mm-hmm. We love to do grammar, which again, there's nothing bad about grammar, but it's like telling all about the car and never let the student actually drive, right? So speaking, that's why at our language school, we speak from day one, and grammar actually is included because most students would say exactly what the question was about. Like, I can understand, I can write, I can read, I can understand, but I still can't speak. What is wrong with me, my friend? Not really much. One thing you can do is continuous practice. And another one is look for someone who is like your mom or dad who taught you the first language. Let me prove it to you. You can speak. And the proof is that you speak your first language really well. So English is just the second time around, the second skill, and you will get there.
No, definitely. And yeah, there's a lot there. I want to address two things in particular that you just said. I'm just going to address the chat here. Pariti, hi, sir. How are you? What are we going to teach today? Yes, Pariti, welcome back to the stream. We're just discussing ways that you can improve your spoken English today. Okay, so that's what we're going to be discussing. And I see some of you guys have questions in the chat here. I will address them after. But Gunita, I want to address two things that you just said there. So the first thing is the expectation or the trend that you need to speak like a native speaker. So typically, you can agree or you can disagree with what I'm about to say, but I typically advise to my English learners that you can embrace your accent, essentially. It's not necessarily a bad thing to speak with an accent so long as you can be understood clearly by native English speakers like myself, and you can clearly understand what native English speakers like myself are saying back to you. Mm-hmm. And it even then, it's still normal that there are some native English speakers that you won't understand. There's some British people in Northern England who I can't understand. And English is my first language. I'm a native speaker, so it's normal. And then there are also occasions where people won't be able to understand you, even though it might not necessarily be your fault. Believe it or not, there are plenty of native English speakers who still struggle with the English language and the command of the English language due to poor education growing up, unfortunately. Yes, don't see your accent as necessarily being a bad thing. On the contrary, with most people, once you reach a certain age, you'll reach a certain level of maturity, and people, most people at least, will have patience with you, even if you have a bit of an accent, so long as you're mostly clear in how you speak, essentially. I would embrace it, and people will actually probably find it interesting in many circumstances. Now, the world is not sunshine and rainbows, I should say. There are going to be some people who may give you a hard time because of your accent. There may be some people who might criticize you because of your accent, call you a fob. In native English speakers use the term fob, meaning fresh off the boat. It's a way to make fun of people who don't speak English as a first language, for those who don't know. Those people are usually pretty ignorant. They usually don't really have the same experience as you trying to learn a new language as well. That could be part of it as well. So just remember, at the end of the day, you can block that out. It doesn't really matter. You have absolutely nothing to lose, and you have everything to gain by exercising your English skills. So that's what I would say.
Exactly.
And I'm sure you would agree, Anita. You should embrace
your accent. So I do a lot of strategy calls when those are one-on-one sessions with people who want to know what current level of their English is. And we get to also kind of assess or analyze or guide what would be the next step. Like what do you need to focus on in your next season as you study English? And very often, Avery, this is what I hear from people. And again, English is not their first language. That means that there is another language, or very often two or three. That they already know, and still they feel like, oh my goodness, I don't speak English as fluently as my coworkers, et cetera, et cetera. And this is what I tell them. It's like, hold on. So are you telling me that you are comparing yourself with someone who's a native speaker? Yes. All right. And then how many languages do your coworkers who are native speakers speak? One. I said, well, look at that from a different perspective now, because you already know one or two languages, and English is just the next one. And just like any other skill, you just started. You will get there. It's just a matter of time. But don't look at yourself as someone who is weak or of a lesser quality, right? So look at someone who actually possesses more knowledge, and you are on the way there. By the way, there is this lady that I talked to recently, and she works in the medical field, and she exactly was feeling the way that I just shared. And she said, well, I still can't speak as fluently, but my coworkers, they speak so fast. And I said, hold on. How many languages do you speak? And she goes, well, I know this and that. And so English is your third. Yes. Well, guess what? When a patient comes who doesn't speak English, who do they call for help? They call me. I said, see? So you have something that most coworkers and even native speakers don't. And as someone in business, as someone who is an employee, you can be hired or asked to help out more often.
Yeah.
So guess what? It's just a perspective. You will get there.
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of people struggle with that, unfortunately, psychologically, because they want to see results yesterday, as opposed to going through the whole process, of course.
Yes.
And we all want to see that, and it's understandable. But another thing you mentioned there was about English grammar. Now, I wonder what your opinion is on this, actually. I personally say that with English grammar, if you know the basics and the fundamentals, and if you know it really, really well, that's usually enough for you to start speaking in English. Yes. I don't think you necessarily need to know advanced grammatical rules, not to mention that native English speakers like myself, we don't study advanced grammatical rules in English. In fact, a lot of people who speak English as a second language understand the grammatical rules of the language better than us native English speakers. That's extremely common. We learn it an entirely different way than the way that you learn it. So if you're spending excessive amounts of time bogged down in small technicalities of English grammar, I think that may lead to frustration when you're speaking in English too, because a lot of native English speakers are going to make grammatical errors when they speak, just because it's commonplace in native English speaking countries like Canada, the United States, especially England as well, the UK. So I would not get too bogged down in that. The most important thing I would say is that you have a profound understanding of the differences between your native language and the English language. And then that way, the English figure of speech will start making more sense in your head. But I would still say that with the basics, that is enough to speak. It's probably not the thing that's holding you back from articulating yourself. So.
Yeah. So working in the language industry. Yes. So working in the language industry for 27 years has given me an understanding, a bigger understanding of how the language actually works. And one thing, let's say, when you were born, Someone started teaching you your first language. How did that happen? So if you want to speak English, always look back at what happened to you when you were little. So let's say that was your mom. Let's just take moms as examples. So what did she do? Did she really start talking to you in long, complicated sentences? No. Very often that was a word. Very often it was in a funny way. So she would show you the thing, point at the thing, and then relate the word to the thing, and very often use body language, making sure that, is that what you want? Like water? Drink? You want something to drink? Until you would understand that, okay, she is actually asking me, and the word is drink or water or whatever, right? So that's how you started learning the language. And then what happened is that you started repeating after your mom the same thing. So this method is still the most efficient when you learn English as a foreign language. Someone tells you what to say, and then you repeat, and then you repeat, and then you become faster and more fluent. That's how that happens. It does not really happen just from listening. By the way, I usually do, like, I show my students the process like this.
Yeah.
So there are two parts, and this is your understanding. Like, you can read, you can write, there's grammar, you can watch movies. By the way, how many of you watch movies and you can basically understand the whole movie, especially with subtitles, right? So you would say, yes, I do that. There are podcasts like this one. So you listen, you're like, yeah, I'm good. I get the idea. But when it comes to you saying something, you're still using your comfort vocabulary. Like, there is this comfort zone that you kind of can't get out. And the question is, like, what's wrong with me again? Well, there's nothing really wrong with you. It's just the proportion you need to produce the language as much as you listen to it, right? Because very often what happens, and this is what we've seen in 27 years, that very often people understand way better than they speak. And on average, that's one or even two level difference. What does that mean? If you understand, let's say, intermediate, whatever that means, but anyways, there are levels. So let's say you understand really well, but what comes out of your mouth is kind of elementary.
Yeah.
So that's okay. What you do for your next season, you focus on speaking more than the other part. Why? Because you don't want to be like, your walk-in looks like this. If one leg is hurting and you need a crutch, but same thing with language skills. So focus on the, find the reason where you can repeat. I did that. I was listening even to weather broadcast, believe it or not. And I would repeat after the lady. And the weather today is, with all the intonation, that was fun. No one was listening. That was my practice. We didn't get a lot of tutors and teachers back then. But that's exactly what you did with your first language. Continue with your second and third and as many languages you want to learn in life. Make sure that you produce the language. Make sure you repeat it. Make sure that you repeat it as many times as you can. By the way, how many times do you need to repeat the same thing? Right? Not once. Yeah. That's actually why you fail.
Exactly.
Meaning you come to a lesson and the teacher teaches you a cluster of new words every single time. That's, my friend, I guarantee you will not forget. Like, you will not remember. Why? Because new thing is just an information. The success is always in how well you speak the language. So that means, where's the time to practice? So at our language school, we typically have revision, we call it revision or review of the previous words, previous questions, previous topics, whatever's more, I would say 80%. And then just a little bit of new words, new questions, new work. Why? Because we know brain is an interesting cookie. One of the things that confuses you a lot, and I mean you, the listener, the viewer, is that there's so much information out there, like, goodness sakes. English has how many words? Well, you can Google it up. Anyways, it might say 200,000. It might say more. It might say less. But anyways, let's take, on average, 200,000 words. Are you really planning on know all the words and then feel happy about yourself? No. Well, we know that you need to know from 3,000 to 5,000 words to be able to communicate, to be able to express yourself. So set the goal. I will learn words, but I will not fuss about not knowing every single word, because when you hit that 3,000 to 5,000, you will be able to ask a golden question anytime. What's the golden question? Is, can you repeat that again? Can you help me? Can you explain that thing again? And that's how you roll.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that's really it. It really is as simple as that, guys. It comes down to not speaking enough. If you are struggling with your speaking, it really, no matter which way you look at it, always comes down to you're simply not speaking enough. You might think that you repeat something 5 times and you got it. No, like, it took me years to learn the French language here in Canada. It took me years. Okay. It took like thousands on thousands on thousands of repetitions. So it's not supposed to feel like second nature. It's not supposed to feel natural when you've only done it a few times. It really is a longer process that you are going to need to exercise some level of patience to see through. So,
yes. And for those of you who don't know, on average, it takes 2 to 3 years to learn a foreign language to the point where you can express yourself. Maybe not know all 200,000 words, and that's okay, but to be able to be kind of fluent. So don't think it's, don't start learning and quit after 3 months. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Because you quit too soon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we have some questions here. So we'll address your questions here in the chat. Monir, you said, how to improve in my reading module, any English test? So how to do better in a reading module in an English test?
All right. Just one tip that you can do. Usually reading and sometimes listening as well. So whatever exam you do or a test, always read the second part first. Very often that's multiple choice something, questions or something that you need to look up in the text. So make sure you know what to look for and then read. Very often it takes time to read and then you're like, oops, I needed to find certain words and put the times out. So my tip is that you read all the directions first and especially find what you need to find in the text and then start reading. That's it.
Yep. There you go. NIMC, do you have an Instagram account? Yes, we both do. It'll be in the description below of this video. Super easy to find. So there you go. Luis, I feel stuck at the same level. What do I have to do? Well, quickly, I'll give my 2 cents and then I'll throw it over to you, Gunita. Mm-hmm. So I would say that you should gradually try to exit your comfort zone. So essentially, I think that it's just going to lead to frustration if you are listening to English media that where you can only understand like 50% of what's being said or even less. I think you're going to have a really difficult time making progress, and it's just going to lead to frustration if you're doing that. I would say find some content where you can understand probably around 80% of what's being said, and then take the rest of the bits and pieces and try to learn something new each and every time you do it. Try to do it gradually. Don't try to jump from 0 to 100 so quickly. But what would you say for someone who's stuck the same?
Yeah, time? Believe it or not, the reason actually can be short answers. So what does that mean? To certain extent, when you know the language, you can understand, let's say, a question. By the way, Avery, is that okay if we role play? And sure. I will show you what I'm telling.
Sure, sure.
what I'm saying. So you will need to trust me. But anyway, so short answers can keep you stuck for years without you even realizing that. How does that happen? So once again, there's this understanding part. Let's say someone asks you a question. You understand a question. For example, what did you have for breakfast this morning? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What's your typical answer? So Avery, this is where I would like to role play so that our viewers can actually see and hear that. So I will ask you a question, and the first answer that pops up in your mind, just shoot it out, okay?
And you want me to answer in a short way, I'm assuming?
The natural way. Sure, how would you answer if a friend asked you a question? All right. So are you able to run 10 miles without stopping?
Not sure. Haven't tried.
All right. So not sure. Haven't tried. Okay. Pretty good. Next question. Would you like to be a model?
I was actually a few years ago.
All right. Okay. So, and those of you who are listening, listen carefully to how Avery is answering. All right. And then I will get to the point shortly. Two more questions, Avery, for you. Was there anything last week that you should have done, but you didn't?
Every week. Every week is like that.
Okay. Every week is like that. Okay. Not bad. So one more. If you could, and if you had extra, let's say $5,000, where would you go and what would you do with the money?
I would probably just invest it in something that is not volatile.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And now watch. I asked the question, and by the way, these questions were of different levels. Some were even advanced, like should have done but didn't. That's pretty advanced. Some were quite elementary, like what did you have for breakfast? So whatever type of question, you understand it and you immediately answer the way you feel like it. And very often those are short answers. Now, my friend, if you feel stuck, then one of the tips I highly recommend is whenever you do speak English, switch to full sentences. Why? Because when you answer shortly, guess how many words you use? Fewer. And guess if there's word order that you kind of review? Not really, right? So see, short answers are good. That's exactly what we do when we know the language, when we speak as well as we understand the language. But while you're on your way to becoming fluent, I highly recommend you switch to long answers. It is so much fun. And you might say, no one speaks like that. Yes, when we know the language. But when you learn, that's exactly how you do things. So you learn which word comes after which word. Yeah. That's how you stretch your vocabulary. And then guess what? When the day comes and you are asked to do a presentation or a, I don't know, TED Talk, something, and you can do the short answers. By the way, IELTS, exams, any kind of tests.
Yep.
You can't really do the speaking part with short answers. You will not score well.
They're testing your vocabulary. Yep.
Yes. Long sentences is your kind of saving grace. Go for that because that's how you practice. And very often when you do use those long sentences for the answer, for practicing purpose, that's where you kind of unleash from being stuck. That's what I've seen in 27 years.
Well, there you go, Luis. Here's some game for you. And Eleg 81, do you have any tricks to learn English tenses?
Oh, yes, actually I do. I am a creator of everyday English mastery course. So my strength, and this is how we are different, meaning language teacher family, we are very visual. We make things clear, and people do listen to you with their eyes, believe it or not. So language, statistically, no matter how well you speak it, is still only up to 10%. So what's the 90? 90 is nonverbal. What's nonverbal? Everything that's visual, gestures, facial expression, even your tone of voice is a part of the language, is a part how you communicate. So grammar and nonverbal is like that's the best combination. So when my grammar course that I mentioned is exactly that. You basically see the basic tenses being explained and from a non-native speaker perspective, meaning I know that you struggle with translation. You still think and translate from your native language, and that's where, my friend, most mistakes come from, right? So English grammar has to be explained the way that you see it and you remember, just like a movie. All right. So if you need help, then you can find that on our website. And that's at least one tip that I can give you.
Okay. There you go. Like 81. I think we have a few more here. NIMC. How much long to learn English? So in other words, how long does it take to learn the English language? My short answer to that question is it depends how much time you put into it. But what would you say, Gunita?
So let's say on average, people choose to learn twice a week, which is okay. For a long-term goal, that's really okay. Now, if you do want to have a faster progress, minimum three. There's not really much difference between three and four and five, but two and three a week, yes. Yeah. Three is a faster progress. Two times is what most students choose, and that is actually okay. Once a week, my friend, is like going to the gym once a week. It's more for fun and more for socializing. You will not really see muscles where it will take a very long time, right? Yeah. So you just need to know that it's better than nothing, all right? It is better than nothing. So with that said, on average, twice a week, let's say, it takes 2 to 3 years to master a foreign language to the point where you are able to communicate and express yourself. And again, I did mention that English is a very beautiful, rich language with at least 200,000 words. Yeah. So you don't have to learn all 200,000 words in 2 or 3 years. Because even native speakers don't know all 200,000 words. They still are learning. Teachers are learning. That's what we do. Oh, goodness. That's why I use Avery's account, one of my favorite accounts, also for building vocabulary. So check them out. But then again, 2 or 3 years is your investment. It's your time and money if you really want to be fluent. And the question is how serious you are.
Yep. Well, there you go. And IMC, there's some game for you. And let's see here. Do we have any other questions before we jump into my questions? Musab, if I want to learn an American accent, should I only watch those videos that their accents are American? So if you want to learn an American accent, should you only consume English media that is with an American accent? Does it make sense to consume media with other accents?
Well, that's where you hear the accent. It's like, exactly. If I want ice cream, should I go to an ice cream store? Yes, you should.
There you go. And yeah, I would say don't try to learn all the accents. I think it's going to drive you absolutely crazy. I would say that it's a little bit complicated. I'm going to try to keep it simple, but it's a bit complicated. So you should try to learn the accents that you see as most applicable to your lifestyle. If you can see yourself spending most of your time conversing with American English speakers or spending time in the country of the United States of America or Canada, you should learn the dialect associated with where you want to actually apply your English skills or in the manner by which you want to apply your English skills. Now, where it gets a little bit complicated is if you go to large cities such as New York City or London or somewhere like that, or Toronto, there's going to be a lot of diversity. Okay. So most people may not necessarily speak with an American accent or a Canadian accent or an English accent. It might be an Indian person who speaks with an Indian accent in the English language. It might be someone from Latvia who speaks the English language with a Latvian accent. So I would say that it really does depend on your situation, but by and large, yes, if you're trying to learn American English, learn it from native English American media, I guess. So, although you do still need to be mindful about those small nuances in big cities with a lot of diversity. But I think the only way you can really pick up on that is through life experience in those environments, really. I think immersion is necessary if you want to get to the level where you can understand different accents like that. So, yeah. Okay. And let's see here. Samia, I understand English, but I can't talk. We kind of addressed that earlier in the stream, and we'll probably address it again moving forward. And Abachan, daily routine tips, please. Okay. What should a daily routine look like for an English learner, Gunita?
Wake up, go to the bathroom, brush your teeth, start your day, dress up, go about your day. Well, when it comes to speaking English, then look for an opportunity or an open door or for someone you can practice speaking. So today is more about speaking because, as we mentioned, there are two parts. One is that you understand pretty well or well enough, but then as it comes to you speaking, you feel like you're still elementary or you're using the same words year after year and you don't like that feeling. So the only way is that you practice with whoever. I would recommend that that's a teacher, and I will tell you why. Because let's say you have an English-speaking friend and you get to talk. You have this nice chat every day. Most friends are so happy for you to speak English that they would not stop, catch your mistake, and correct you. This is what you need while you're learning. A teacher, that's our profession. That's actually why you need a teacher, is that someone can be there for you, guide you. And if something is off, like off track, then immediately, let's say, if I ask you a question, what time is it? And you say, well, I don't have a clock. Then a teacher, your friend would start laughing or would say like, that's funny, we don't say that, and that's about it. But a teacher would say, not clock, a watch. Mm. And you would know exactly what to say and you would repeat that. And there you go. All right. So that's actually the biggest difference between native speakers and teachers. Native speakers actually don't have to slow down for you. They don't have to even teach you. If they want to, they can. But teacher is someone who is interested in helping you. Again, if the focus is on speaking, because very often teachers, well, they love to give you some individual work like grammar exercises and you're on your own again. But what you need is you need to speak. So the only way out is to have someone who makes you sweat, basically like going to a basketball training and practice, right? So same thing for speaking skills.
Yeah. There you go, Abba. And last one here, like 81, do you have a grammar course? Ila,
yes, Ola.
From Poland.
Yes. Yes, Ola. We created a grammar course in a fun and very visual way so that you basically can see what is the difference between I am drinking coffee and I drink coffee. And what is the difference between I was drinking coffee and I drank coffee? And what on earth is I drank coffee and I have drunk coffee? Because there are so many languages, probably Ola, including your Polish language, that does not have that tense at all. And now how do you explain that, right? So You're very welcome. You can see that course on our webpage, Language Teacher Family.
There you go. And the links will be in the description of this. And yeah, there you go. And is it possible to improve my English speaking in 3 months like a native speaker? Now, I have seen this actually happen before where some people have made a ton of progress in 3 months. But the amount of time and effort you're going to have to put into it is probably not realistic for most people. I did see somebody actually achieve this, but they spent about 8 to 10 hours every single day for 3 months religiously, and it was extremely structured. So unless you're willing to put forth that much time and effort, then I would give myself a longer timeline than 3 months. But what would you say, Anita?
It depends where you start. Let's say if you are intermediate already, then it will be easier for you to be in that environment, native speaker environment, soak in, and probably it will take a short while. I would not guarantee it's 3 months. And again, we've been in the language industry for 27 years, and we know that on average, it takes 2 to 3 years, not 3 months. Actually, to go on average again from one level to the next, meaning from elementary to pre-intermediate, it could take 5 to 7. Again, it depends how often you have classes. But let's say it's twice a week, you have classes, you have a great teacher who practices speaking with you 80% of the lesson time. And then still, it's a semester. It's 5 to 7 months that we have seen, or 400 new words. There are different statistics, but 3 months is a good start, my friend. And you should start and one day. But then again, I would challenge you with a question. Why would you like to have this goal and speak like a native speaker? What's behind it? There is a reason behind it, and there can be a really good reason. Maybe the deadline can be moved so that to reach that goal, there's less stress for you.
Mm-hmm. There you go. And Brahim here, English language is like teeth. You cannot whiten your teeth on the first day as well as English. Yeah, I guess. weird. I guess if you have bad teeth, then yeah, sure. That analogy could could work.
That's a good
shout one. To you, right? Which book can I use to learn English? Why don't you give us some recommendations there, Gunita?
Any book that's in English. Okay. Again, it really depends on your current level. If let's say you are elementary, go for magazines, go for children books. My favorite. Why? They have pictures. People learn more through visual stuff than only, you know, white, like black and white letters. So go for something that you can see the association with what you are reading. If that's your level, if you are, let's say, someone who is pretty advanced and you're actually preparing to do TED Talk, go and read all those articles, all those books that you can benefit from. It really depends where you are, but there's no name, like one or two books only. Actually, it's up to you, but I would recommend that you start with something that you are genuinely interested in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that can definitely help. What I did, Jihao, when I had to learn the French language, I got a grammar book in the English language, outlining the differences between English and French. That made practicing every other skill like a million times easier for me afterwards. So if it's possible to find a book in your native language, a grammar book, if that's something that you would be interested in doing, if you want to be really intentional about it, I think that can help you make some progress as well, in addition to any supplementary material that you like to use as well. But there you go. And Anna, Anita, are you teaching individual lessons or are they other teachers? Okay.
That's a good question. So I am a mom of the language school that we created 27 years ago. So my core job is to help and help the next generation of teachers how to teach a foreign language. And I'm still in the game. I have only a few students a year. Most of my time is scheduled for things like strategy calls, where I get to meet students one-on-one to see and guide them what would be the program or the next step. And then my team takes over. When I say my team, there are great teachers. And if you look up and if you go on Language Teacher Family and you see our videos, it kind of gives you a glimpse of what we are like. Very visual, very fun. We specialize in speaking. So, and you would be in good hands.
Well, there you go, Anna. Go check that out after the stream. And okay, this is a question that I actually wanted to ask you. That's also in the chat. So let's address it. Samia, listening to podcasts and practicing, which is better? I would just say, like, when it comes to all the different things that you can use to practice your listening comprehension skills, do you think that, which one do you think is superior to another? Would you say it's podcasts? Would you say it's TV shows and movies that are a little bit more scripted and dramatic? Or would you lean more towards realistic conversations, like an interview on YouTube, a podcast, real life? I mean, when it comes to a listening comprehension, what do you think is the best way?
Such a great question. And I will answer it this way. So again, our brain is such an interesting cookie that it rejects actually topics or words that you hardly use in your native language. I'll say that again. So let's say you can be listening to something, but your brain goes like, I don't get it. So what will happen if you listen to the same topic in English? Your brain will go like, I don't get it twice as much, right? So for that reason, I would still, if I watched and if I listened, I would start with something that my brain goes like, wow, that was so interesting. Yes, I want to watch it again. Yes, I learned a new word. So I would start with that. But as I mentioned, proportionally, usually people understand way better than they speak. So watch out that your understanding level, which comes from watching podcasts, yep, movies, etc., yep, is not like huge difference between how well you speak. And if that's your case, I would switch and I would spend the next season in practicing speaking skills more so that you don't walk on like a crutch thing, right? So that it's not you being in the meeting feeling like, I understand you guys, but don't ask me a question. You just smile and nod. You don't want to be that. And I don't want you to be like that, not even this year, not next year. So what has to change is the proportion that you would look for an opportunity for you to open your mouth and say something. That's speaking.
Yep. There you go. It always comes back to, it always comes full circle. It comes down to actually applying your speaking skills, actually doing it, actually speaking more. And another question I'd like to touch on briefly, Anita, is what is your take on slang and informal terminology when it comes to someone speaking? Do you think that this is something that should be taught, or do you think that this is something that should be neglected? You have lots of experience teaching English. What's your take on slang and informal?
Slang is fun, but then again, it depends on your context. Meaning, let's say we work in the office and I can learn as many slang words as I want to, but then if I meet a customer or a student or a client, and that would not be appropriate, then what can I do with my slang? But when I'm with my friends, actually, this is what I do. That's a tip right there. When I have a native speaker friend, and currently, we're hosting our friend Isa. She's here in Latvia with us. And guess what I usually tell them? It's that while you're here, please do me a favor. If there's something that I'm saying and you know, you kind of understand what I mean, but that's not exactly what you would say in English, please correct me. Can you do that? And usually they say yes. And another thing is when I hear my friends use slang or idioms or phrasal verbs, and that is fun, I usually tell, what was that? What does that mean? Because that's how I learn. And I'm an English teacher. I've been teaching for 27 years. So if I still do that, and of course, I would highly recommend anyone who's still on the journey, because language is a never-ending story. So once you master something, English people come up with new idioms and new slang, you know, and then you have to learn again, which is fun.
There you go. Okay. Makes sense. And yeah, that's an important point you brought up, knowing when it's appropriate, of course. If you're in the office, there may be a time where you can and cannot use it. And especially for English learners, it can be difficult to figure out which time is which. It's actually an extremely common error. I see people using really formal terms in casual settings or using informal terms in more formal settings. It's difficult because native English speakers like us, we tend to mix it up a lot. We tend to do a combination of both at most times, really. So even at the office, even in a serious business setting, we'll still lighten the mood by using some slang terminology. We'll still lighten the mood and make it a little bit more laid back by using an informal term, just to be a little bit more friendly, at least. So,
yes. And the most important thing always is, who do you talk to? Mm-hmm. Who is the person that you use your speaking skills with? Yeah. Why? Because you might be really advanced, but if your customer, let's say, if your patient, if your student is not there yet, you will have to go down and meet the person there. Those are people skills. People skills are always over language skills. That's why when you go to a meeting where people talk really a complicated level, and you're like, I cannot relate. I feel like an outcast. So when you speak your English with slang or idioms or with business English, you always have to first look the person in the eyes, like, okay, how can we communicate? How can you understand what I mean? And if that requires you to go two levels down and speak elementary, be it. Because at the end of the day, it's not how impressive you were, like how people were impressed by your speaking skills, but how well they understood you and how well the task is being done, if that's the office setting, how well your team understood and kind of caught the ball from you so that they can shoot and score, right? So other skills are sometimes even more important. So don't you worry where you are. You will get there. I mean, if you really are, you speak slow and you don't like that, keep learning, keep practicing. One day you will get there. You will not recognize yourself in a year from now if you continue. That's the secret. Just continue studying. But still, meanwhile, can you be a good communicator? Can you be kind to people? Can you can use some nonverbal to get the idea through? Yes, you can.
There you go. And okay, so we're approaching the 1 hour mark here. So Gunita, why don't you tell all the audience here where they can find you on social media?
So on social media, whether that's TikTok, YouTube, or Instagram, we go by name Language Teacher Family, and we really are a family. My husband and all our four children, we're involved in teaching, and we've been running a language school for 27 years. And then there is the family of language teachers that we kind of have a community of. So you can find us there. You can message us. And we also have our own page. So go and check it out. We have some things that you might benefit from. Some are for free, like language learning secrets, and some of those I mentioned here today. And I hope to see you one day, whether that's in the class or on social media, so that you can learn from pages like Avery's and learn some great vocabulary, including idioms. I do that. I would highly recommend, or visit our page and see how you can learn, especially grammar tips, in a very fun and easy way.
Okay, and there you go, guys. And we have a question here from Samia. Teacher Granita, do you have a YouTube channel?
Yes, the same name, Language Teacher Family.
There you go. And yes, it will be her YouTube will be tagged to the title of this video as well. So you can always click on that too, and you'll easily be able to find her. And then for us, it's just ARC English on all platforms, super easy to find. Any platform you're on, search ARC English and you will find us. We try to make sure that you guys learn something new every single day. We're trying to get more great guests on like Granita to help you with your English learning journey. So if you like any of that, if you like to learn more, continue to learn more, simply just look us up on any social media platform. And that is all we have for you guys today. Thank you so much for coming. If you'd like to support the platform on whichever platform you're on, YouTube or Facebook or Twitch, you can simply just like the video and it will help the algorithms a bunch. Okay. And that is all. Until next time.
Bye-bye.